the task, penetrating and perfect truth, is seldom met with. Even in a 100,000 years, now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Buddha, Shuddha Dharma, Shuddha Sangha. In the talks that I've been doing on the Sandokai, we come now to the last lines of the scripture, last few verses. I've already talked about the verse, if from your experience the senses basic truth you do not know, how can you ever find the path that certain is, no matter how far distant you may walk? There's a strong cautionary statement in here. Just preceding it, lo here, set up not your own standards. Here is a nice way of saying, listen up, you. And this is the key thing. What is it that keeps us from recognizing the Buddha within our ordinary daily life? Remember, the experience of the senses can just be translated as our ordinary daily life, our experience of our daily life. Both these deeply rooted standards, as it's put here, these deeply rooted opinions, really, above all, I am not worthy. They all come back to that in the end. Of course, I constantly reiterate that self-judgment is the root of it all. But it's only as the nature of our own karma, our own karmic inheritances, more and more perceived and understood, we really get this, how deeply rooted this problem is. Now, why should it be that way if you think about it, just naively? Why not just be born into this world with the I'm okay, you're okay point of view? And it's kind of all clear sailing from there. It goes back to particular events, particular moments of grief and horror, of shock, in which all beings know how to do is to turn it back on themselves. After all, if you're powerless to do anything about anyone else, you can always do something, at least in your mind, to yourself. And so often it's a taking a responsibility for something that one couldn't prevent. Grief and horror can be very, very powerful indeed. And it's amazing how fast beings can leap to, in just in a twinkling of an eye, as is said, leap to a severe self-judgment that then marks the stream of karma for lifetimes to come. So above everything else, when you think of the line, "Lo here, set up not your own standards," or "Listen up, set up not your own standards," this is above everything else what it's talking about. If we want to do something about the degree of desperation, of desperate longing, of desperate clinging, of desperate craving, we need to do something about what underlies it. When that moment of judgment comes, self-judgment comes, a great seeming gulf opens up between oneself and the Buddha nature. The teaching so powerfully expressed in the wonderful metaphors of the Sandokai is that no such gulf in reality exists. It was created in a moment of grief and shock and remorse, and it is perpetuated in act, word, and deed, in thought, word, and deed, over lifetimes. But if we have found the path of the Buddhas and ancestors, then we have found a way out of this dilemma. When he says that from your experience of the senses, basic truth you do not know, how can you ever find the path that certain is, no matter how far distant you may walk? He's expressing in the strongest possible way the solution to the problem of suffering is never going to be solved, you're never going to be found outside this very realm of samsara that we live in, outside of our everyday life. We carry the cause with us. We recreate the cause in many ways. We can take the circumstances of this very day, whatever they are, and we can reverse that process. We can do a spiritual training that enables us to become aware of those little moments in which we habitually look down. And when we become aware that we're doing that, we then see that we have a choice not to do it. In truth, we can make use of the circumstances of this daily life to deepen our suffering and confusion, and in the process to complicate other people's lives who are close to us. And we can use the circumstances of our daily life to free ourselves from suffering and to help all those close to us. We help them just because we become a different kind of person. Since, as this scripture so powerfully reiterates, the Buddha nature is always right here, right now, there is always the opportunity to turn towards it. And that is the purpose and the nature of meditation. There is always the opportunity to recognize it and not willfully blind ourselves to it. And that is the purpose and the nature of bowing. There is always the opportunity to turn to it for help, to listen to it, to follow it. And that is the nature and the purpose of the precepts. He goes on to say, as you walk on, distinctions between near and far are lost. And should you lost become, there will arise obstructing mountains and great rivers. This is not some kind of threat. Well, if you don't get it, you know, obstacles are going to rise all around you and you're going to get crushed. This is pointing out the teaching that exists within suffering. When there are obstructing mountains and great rivers, they can manifest in many ways. When things get difficult, it is an opportunity to get in there and really meditate. A great incentive to get in there and really meditate. And let those very obstructing mountains and great rivers, those very obstacles and difficulties help us. This is the real secret of conversion. Everything that happens is for my good. To take things in that way. We can choose to go a path of negativity and to sink into negativity, complaining, really kind of lacerating our own heart through looking down willfully. And we can choose to look up and to walk forward in faith. This doesn't mean we have to try to keep ourselves pumped up to be happy. Someone who's happy all the time belongs in some kind of institution, probably. This is not about trying to get in and stay in any particular state of feeling. It's about not doing that which perpetuates ignorance and craving and hatred, which are the causes of suffering, and instead doing that which allows compassion, wisdom, love to manifest naturally. Our daily life. There are plenty of obstructing mountains and great rivers that arise in the spiritual life. It is indeed the case that if we start going off into greater confusion, things will get much more difficult. And sometimes things just get much more difficult because there's particularly strong karma coming due at that time. In either case, we can choose to take it as an opportunity to be a little more still, a little more attentive, a little more perceptually aware. The last lines of the Sandokai, "This I offer to the seeker of great truth. Do not waste time." They don't need much of an explanation, do they? I'll just add that there's no greater privilege in human life than to be a seeker of great truth in the path of the Buddhas and ancestors.